And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening. Your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Of course, the top news story today is that the president and first lady have both tested positive for the communist Chinese Wuhan virus, otherwise known as COVID-19. Of course, are all very disappointed to hear that news, but we pray for the President of the United States. So before we go any further into anything else that I want to do during this program, this is First Amendment Friday after all, but before I do anything else, let's say a word of prayer for the President and the First Lady. Heavenly Father, we are, first of all, so grateful for this network and so grateful that you have provided us with an ability to communicate with millions of Americans across this land with your truth. And Lord, we are at a moment in our country's history that is in desperate need of leadership that will seek to affirm the foundational principles that made America a prosperous and blessed nation. And the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, who has really led in a renaissance of American ideals and values, has now been stricken with this pandemic disease called COVID-19, and his wife has been stricken with it too, as far as we know, according to these tests at least. And Lord, he is reputed to be having mild symptoms. We haven't heard any reports about how Melania Trump is doing, but we pray for both of them, and we pray for their healing, their strength. We pray that the president will be able to carry on his duties throughout this time. We pray, Lord God, that the policies and the principles and the actions, such as, for example, confirming Amy Coney Barrett as a Supreme Court justice, will continue without any interruption. And Lord, most of all, we pray that you will protect the president, because while he and his wife have now been diagnosed with this illness, there are people who have taken to the internet, to Twitter, to wish them ill, to hope they die. And Lord, it is a little disturbing that our country has come to a place where there are people who are our fellow citizens who want people to die, want someone to be destroyed, as opposed to simply trying to persuade people that their ideas are right. They're so full of hatred that all they can think of is death. And so, Lord God, we just pray for this president. We pray for our country, for an awakening out of that kind of evil. And we believe he represents the very best of America, not the worst, as some are trying to portray him. And so we pray for his protection, and we pray, Lord God, that America would awaken once again to the blessings that have been bestowed upon us by Almighty God, the blessings of liberty, the blessings of our ability, our free ability to pursue our own understanding of our happiness, the ability to speak freely, to worship and practice our faith freely. And Lord God, we want to protect the great gift that you've given us that is called the United States of America. And we believe that President Donald Trump wants the same thing. But even if he didn't, we'd still pray for his healing. But Lord God, we pray even perhaps more enthusiastically, because we know how much he means to the country right now. So we commit him and his wife and his family and the staff and team around him, their health and well-being, into your loving care for your protection. You said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Lord, may they be safe in the strong tower of the name of the Lord. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, I wanted to get that in right away, because not only is it important that we pray for the president, and by the way, just to be clear, I prayed for President Obama too. I really did. Now, of course, I didn't pray for him to stay in office, but I certainly didn't pray for him to die. I certainly didn't pray for him to be hurt, for him to be assassinated, or any silly, wicked stuff like that. I really did pray for his health, prayed for his well-being, prayed for his family. I prayed good things for them, but I also prayed for a change of heart, okay, or for him to ultimately be defeated in his reelection campaign. That didn't happen, obviously. But the last thing I wanted was for him to get sick and die, or for something bad to happen to him or his family, because that's simply not a heart of love. And Jesus didn't say, hate your enemies, and that's a good thing. He said, love your enemies. And so love doesn't mean we agree with people or that we go along with people and what they want to do. But love means that we don't have ill will in our hearts for people because of what they stand for. We hate their ideas because they're false, but we don't hate the people because we know God doesn't hate them. He loves them and wants the best for them. Unfortunately, we're dealing with a group of people who just simply don't share our Christian worldview and ethic. And folks, I'm not even going to read to you. I said I was going to do that. I mean, I thought about doing that, but it's just too dark and nasty and degenerate that I'm not even going to give voice to these things that people are saying about the president. Suffice to say that they're hoping that he suffers, hoping that he and his wife die, all of this kind of crazy stuff. I mean, it's sad. So we've got to pray for the president. Okay, look, this is First Amendment Friday, so I want to get your calls in early and see what you all think of this unfolding development. I do have a couple things I want to say. Chris Wallace comes up again, and I'll get to that in a second. But in the meantime, I want to remind you all that we do have these programs archived on AFR.net. And just go to the podcast section. You go right to the website. It's right on the front of the website. If you want to listen to my program or any other, you can simply scroll down and go to The Awakening, and there it is. And look, you're doing that helps us. It helps us as a network. It helps each program that you do that for. But, you know, it also helps the people that you're trying to introduce to this network, because a lot of times people aren't able to listen when you would like them to. Maybe they're working or they're busy, but to be able to say to them, hey, it doesn't matter because the programs are archived. Go check out Thursday's program on The Awakening, and you're going to hear some things that I think you're going to find very interesting, that kind of thing. So I just encourage you to keep doing that. Thank you so much for doing that already. I'll just encourage you to keep doing it for us because it's a big help to the network, and we put it there because we also believe it's a big help to our listeners. Now, Chris Wallace just... Yeah, I mean, he just keeps on... revealing who he really is, and I'm really kind of shocked because it's as if he's shed all pretense of objective journalism. I don't know whether you all have heard the things he's been saying about President Trump. Now, he did say some kind things about, you know, wanting the president to be well and all of that, and that's what you would have expected him to say, and he did say that. But then he immediately turns around and points out, well, the Trump family came in and they sat down together and they took off their masks, and people at the Cleveland Clinic tried to get them to put the masks back on and they didn't want to, they waved them away. The Biden family came in, they wore their masks, they were all wearing masks, they were all following the science, and there was a real contrast between the two families. It's like I told you, he's making clear who he's going to vote for, who he supports. But it's almost saying the president deserves it because he's been cavalier about this. And I want to address that when we come back. The number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to start taking your calls as early as possible here on First Amendment Friday. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. On our radio program, we provided a link to a video produced by the Internet Accountability Project with the provocative title, Google is Evil. Watch the video and come to your own conclusion. It packs quite a bit of information into just a little over 2 minutes. And if you feel you need to learn more, I might suggest the hour and a half long documentary drama, The Social Dilemma, that interviews people who have been in the big tech companies and have similar concerns. Now, most of us are aware of the power of big tech. These few tech companies can control what you see and how you communicate on their platforms. In this video, Rachel Bovard fills in many of the details and warns that Google has much more power over your life than you realize. For example, Google controls what we see, when we see it, and what we can say, and they do this to over 90% of the world. Google tracks us where we go without our permission. Google most likely has your medical records. They have already collected the medical records of 50 million Americans without their consent. Google makes more money than 92% of the countries on Earth. The video also claims that it helps dictatorships suppress minorities. Now, as outrageous as that claim might seem, there is good documentation on the internet and at various human rights websites to back that claim. And this video is hardly the first to claim that big tech has been using its power to control elections in other countries and now wants to do it here in America. All of this might be difficult to digest in one viewing of the video. Next to the video are numerous bullet points and more than a dozen links to document much of the information. Study this for yourself, and I believe you will come to the same conclusion. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Dinosaur Trees. This is Ken Ham, author, speaker, and blogger on science and the Bible's reliability. Earlier this year, my home country of Australia was rocked by intense wildfires. Firefighters worked hard to save lives, property, and wildlife, including a tree known as the Wallamai Pine. Now, why is this tree so special? Well, one scientist said discovering it was like finding a dinosaur walking around. You see, this tree was thought to have gone extinct millions of years ago until a park ranger found them growing in a remote part of Australia. And somehow, they hadn't evolved in millions of years. Well, this tree didn't live millions of years ago, but it did live at the time of the dinosaurs, and that was only a few thousand years ago, according to the Word of God.
Plan your visit to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum in Northern Kentucky at AnswersRadio.com. Kids 10 and under are free for 2020, so come soon. Visit AnswersRadio.com.
Ryan Fisher here. Many Christians are turned off by the president's personality. How much should that matter? I say not much. The president tests positive for coronavirus. What are the implications? The president makes clear for the 21st time that he disavows white supremacy. And the Washington Post dreams about never having to think about Trump again. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, it's First Amendment Friday, folks, and that means that any topic you want to bring up is fine. The number is 888-589-8840. Obviously, I know you'll want to talk about the president being diagnosed, having a positive COVID-19 test, he and his wife, both, along with Hope Hicks, by the way, who is back on the president's staff. She had left for a while. And look, Chris Wallace, I think, reflects a lot of the attitude that's in the liberal community, in the mainstream media. He says the president contracted it by no fault of his own. Yeah, but that's after he blamed the family for not wearing masks and goes through this tirade, which he's apparently repeating in a number of interviews, wear the D masks. Wear the D mask. Of course, he doesn't use the word D. So he's kind of taken a stand on this, and not kind of, he has taken a stand on this, and I think it's a stand of to basically make the president look bad. But, you know, this division in the country, I just read another poll today that says 61% of the American people believe that we could be heading for a civil war. Now, I don't want that. You don't want that. And I pray that that never happens again in the United States of America. I really do. I really do. But it just goes to show how divided the country has become. And I'll say this one thing, and then I want to come to the phones, try to get started in this during this segment, which is unusual. Usually takes me till at least the third segment. Look, we are not at loggerheads because conservatives and traditional Americans have changed. We're not. Because the ideals of conservatives and traditionalists and Christians have not changed, folks, in a half a century. What has happened is the left has continued to go further and further left, redefine the middle, and then define those of us who have held to biblical and Christian and Judeo-Christian traditional values as quote-unquote far right. And I've told you what Antifa is convincing people of is that we are fascists, that our views are fascists. And yet, ours are the same views that, what, 20, 30, 40 years ago, people would have said, yeah, what's the issue? I mean, yeah, oh, you believe that marriage is a union between one man and one woman? Who doesn't? I mean, it wouldn't have been an issue. But now, suddenly, we are, quote unquote, the extreme right, the far right. Well, the fact of the matter is they're redefining reality because they are the ones who are Marxists and socialists and communists and far left, and they are now pointing the finger at us, and they've got the mainstream media, the colleges, the universities, and in many cases the public schools to agree with them. So they now say, you know, you people who like Donald Trump, support him, you people who believe in marriage, you people who believe that capitalism is a good thing, that free enterprise is a good thing, you all are a bunch of fascists. You're a bunch of far-right extremists. So I would just say this. God forbid that our country ever erupts in civil war. I want to be on record saying that. God forbid, please, don't let that ever happen to our beloved country, Lord. But if it were to happen, it wouldn't happen because conservatives are trying to make it happen. It would happen because the left has gotten so belligerent and so ugly that they push people into a corner, and under threat of their lives, people are forced to fight back. And so when you have a movement that is busy saying President Trump ought to die. Yeah, well, this is a British actor, but still, he expressed a lot of Americans said it too. So when he found out the president had coronavirus, he leaped for joy because he said, I've been hoping he would die for a long time. That's sadly where we are. And you and I are simply trying to hold fast to the principles that made America the greatest nation on earth. We have not really changed, except now everything we do and say is seen as somehow an expression of this far-right extremist thought, because the left is in charge of telling people what is acceptable thought. And if you're not saying what they want you to say, you're engaged in hate speech. You're engaged in extremist speech. This is down the rabbit hole, Alice in Wonderland stuff, folks. This is Isaiah 5 stuff. Evil is good, darkness is light. This is bitter is sweet. This is where they're trying to take the country, and we are not going to let them. It's just that plain and simple. We are not going to let them. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's get to your calls. Any subject is on the table. And let's go to Albert in Alabama. You know what? I think you guys are going to have to help me out here because my board is not. Oh, wait a minute. I think we got it. Albert, are you there? Albert, are you there? Okay. I'm going to need some help. My board is not. Okay. Stand by, everybody. Just having a technical problem here. And we'll get to you. We will get to you. Okay. So that's point number one. The division in the country is not division being created by Christians, by conservatives, by those of us who are simply holding fast to the values that we believe made America the greatest nation on earth. It is the people who have gone full-blown into Marxism. I mean, Antifa, folks, openly supports violence, openly says that capitalism is inherently sexist, racist, homophobic, Islamophobic, and it's got to go. I mean, but America was built on free enterprise. They said, no, that's got to go. It's the leftists saying the family is a patriarchal, oppressive institution. And yet family has been the bedrock of our society. So those of us who are still upholding family as God ordained it, we're the extreme right. It's really a very bizarre situation, folks, that we are in right now. Okay, Randy, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I wanted to chime in on the news story today on the Newswire where it was talking about the investigation of the trafficking of baby parts by the abortion clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's it's really an old investigation. It's the Center for Medical Progress, and they did all those videos back in 2015 and 16, where that led up to a congressional investigation where Cecilia Richards of Planned Parenthood was being asked about the issue. But I guess they were focusing in on an abortionist in New Mexico who they have, caught in the clinic red-handed brokering in baby parts. Anyway, I guess it's an issue right now, and they were talking about sending a letter to the Justice Department. However, I wanted to remind everybody that the Justice Department has supposedly have been investigating the trafficking of baby parts and Planned Parenthood since the Trump administration took office. This was a comment by Jeff Sessions, and under his leadership, and supposedly has been carried forward. So I'm just wondering, you know, why does a letter need to be sent to the Justice Department when they have all of this evidence? And, oh, by the way, last year when the Center for Medical Progress people were being sued civilly, Planned Parenthood had admitted in court under court testimony, under oath, that the videos in question were authentic. And, of course, that was their denial on Congress in front of the congressional investigations. So they've admitted that the videos are real. And so I'm just wondering what more proof needs to be taken place for charges, for the felonies, for trafficking baby parts to take place.
Got it, Randy. Got it. Thank you so much for the call. And, look, I mean, you're absolutely right. I have expressed my concerns. Now, look. The Justice Department, generally speaking, does not investigate. It's the FBI that is charged with doing investigations for the Justice Department, but the Justice Department is in charge, and it's the Justice Department that to whom or to which the FBI reports. And one does wonder about all of these investigations, why things that seem to cry out for justice take so long to get a response. And here again, I just think there's some deep state stuff going on in the Justice Department and in the FBI, not for most of these rank and file folks who are just doing their job, love the country. But here again, I think in many cases they're under the control of some of these deep state people who have been there for a long time and have an agenda, and that agenda is not in keeping. It's just like Christopher Wray apparently did, in fact, report that the real threat to the country is white supremacy. Well, where? Where? I mean, that's not what's tearing up the cities of our country. And here again, folks, I'm against white supremacy. I trust all of you are, too. I mean, we're against any racial supremacy. We want the supremacy of God and the supremacy of truth. But where are they the danger? Where are they the threat? They're not the ones going out in suburbs demanding that people tear their flags down. I mean, back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I met an old friend the other day. When he asked me to have coffee with him, I took him up on the offer. You know, I'm glad I did, for my visit with him did much to restore my faith in mankind. During the conversation with him, it happened to turn toward two friends of ours that we knew from our high school days. My friend told me about the two, how good the jobs they had, how much money they were making, and the way they lived. They've got their own business now, he said, and evidently are making a killing. But you know what? They haven't changed a bit. They're the same as always. Life to them is one big party after another. They make big money, dress sharp to impress their business associates, drive expensive automobiles, and drink their high-priced booze while chasing their women. That's what my friend told me about the two that we knew back from high school days. My friend went on to tell me that one of the two had recently gotten a divorce. He's dating plenty of sharp chicks right now, he said. They live in fast company. But then my friend said something that kind of shocked me. In fact, he shocked me a pretty good little bit. That's a heck of a way to live, he said. To know that you've got to do that day after day. To go to bed drunk and get up with a hangover and then to know that you've got to go through it again that night. That would be an awful way to live. You know, I got to thinking about that. Here was a friend of mine, a traveling salesman, who gets his kicks from making a good home for a wife and son, saying that if there was no purpose any higher in life than living it up and having a ball, then he would find it extremely difficult to find life worth living. For him, there had to be some purpose behind it all. Isn't this precisely the feeling we are created with? To have some goal in life, some purpose, something to work toward. Here's another man walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, teaching, preaching, healing, saying that for this purpose I have come. The purpose gave so much meaning to his life that he gave his life for that purpose. In a classroom behind the Iron Curtain some years ago, the professor was without an answer for a question posed by one of the pupils. Professor, the pupil asked, what's the purpose of life? You know, a Galilean had an answer to the question. He said the purpose of life is to serve both God and fellow man. Maybe we should, instead of complaining about all our concerns, rejoice that we have something to be concerned about. For no one is to be pitied more in life than a person whose major goal is to make more money and whose greatest joy comes from carelessness. Let this be our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for values greater than money and goals higher than pleasure.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening. The Awakening. Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
It's First Amendment Friday. Your topics are on the table wherever they might come from. Don't have to be anything we talked about this week. And doesn't have to be any subject I've ever talked about. If you want to bring something up, feel free. The number is 888-589-8840. One quick comment on the masks. Let's just be clear about something. Scientists say masks, they believe, reduce the risk of spread of COVID. Not eliminate, reduce. So let's be clear about something, since Chris Wallace and others want to somehow call the president a liar, and they never say exactly what he's claimed to have lied about. I've been listening to him throughout this process. I haven't heard the president tell any lie. He's tried not to have the country panic, and fear has gripped the country like I've never seen before. And I think that's exactly what he was trying to avoid, and rightly so. They want people running around with their hair on fire like we're all going to fall down dead any minute. But let's just be clear about something. A person who has COVID wearing a mask could give it to a person who doesn't have it, who is also wearing a mask. Now, they would say, well, yeah, but that could happen, but the likelihood is lower. Okay, lower doesn't mean it's eliminated. So this idea of everybody's got to wear a mask. If you don't wear a mask, you're going to die. Well, the fact of the matter is, you could wear a mask all the time and still contract the disease. So here again, we just want to be balanced about this. We want to understand that the left doesn't seem to like absolutes when it comes to morality, when it comes to truth. But when it comes to the things that they use to control people and to scare people and manipulate people by fear, suddenly these are absolutes. So just to set the record straight here. 888-589-8840. Okay, I think we've got our technical issues resolved, and let's see if we do. You know what? I guess I do not on my end. Randy, I do not. So if you all would take over. Okay, let's go to Frank in Texas. Frank, welcome.
Thank you. Bishop, I appreciate it. I want to thank you for sharing such a strong Christian world, Bishop Jackson.
Thank you.
The far left is doing everything it can to derail the November 3rd election. Left-wing rioting mercenaries are destroying huge sections of large cities in this country. Are these same violent mercenaries planning to scare off the elderly from voting in large city polling places? If so, a strong law enforcement presence is needed at these polling locations for voter safety. I strongly urge us Christians to vote our conscience at the polls November 3rd. The future of our constitutional republic is at stake. Thank you again, Bishop Jackson, and may God love God and protect the Trumps and Pences during this time.
Amen, Frank. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Do you all recall, because a friend of mine, J. Christian Adams, was working in the Justice Department under Obama. He wasn't appointed by Obama. He was already there. But during that time, the Obama Justice Department, when the Black Panthers were trying to intimidate people coming into a polling place in Philadelphia, J. Christian Adams said they actually said the Voting Rights Act wasn't meant to protect white people from black intimidation. It was intended only to protect black people from white intimidation, and therefore we're not going to do anything about the Black Panthers. And they didn't. They refused to prosecute them. They refused to take any action to stop them. And so you are right, Frank. They will do anything in their power, lie, steal, cheat, manufacture votes, use this mail-in garbage, 100,000 ballots mailed out in New York, 100,000 ballots that were wrong. Okay, let's, but yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Frank. Thank you. Let's go to, let's go to our next caller. All right, Patsy in Arkansas, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Bishop. I just wanted to tell you how much I like your show, and I like what the man from Texas said. I like the fact that you just say it like it is about what's happening in America, and I love Donald Trump, and I think he's been a good president, and I'm old now, and I don't have a television. I listen to this radio station and another radio station that has preachers on it. Well, this one does too, but anyway, my friends that watch TV all the time, some of them, don't get the real news. They believe all that stuff they see on the network news, and most of it won't even tell the good stuff Donald Trump has done. And I think he's done so many wonderful things. And I have to tell my friends, I heard this on Washington Watcher. I heard this on the American Family Radio. Well, so anyway, and also I wanted to tell you, do you remember a while back, I can't remember how long ago, some man called you, and I don't remember where he was from, and somehow he wanted to fuss at you for saying, "And I am he." Well, you were only speaking correct English because when I was in school, and I'm nearly 75, our teachers taught us how to answer the phone. And when somebody calls your number and you answer it, and they say, "May I speak to, my name's Patsy, may I speak to Patsy?" You say, "This is she." You don't
right.
say, I'm her.
Right.
That's the right person. You know, you don't. That's the correct English to say, I am he. And I love it. Every time your radio show comes on and you say that. Thank you very much, Bishop.
Well, thank you for the call, Patsy, and thank you for the defense of my grammar. Yeah, that was some of you may not have heard that, but that was a caller asking me was I trying to associate myself in some, and I don't know that the caller was actually hostile. Was I trying to associate myself with Jesus, who said when he said to the woman at the well, I that speak unto thee am he. Or I am he. No, I said no. No, 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 no. That has nothing to do with that. Just trying to use proper English. That's all. Numbers 888-589-8840. You've got a great memory, Patsy. Yes. All right. Tim in Texas, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate your show, and thank you for all that you bring to light in what you say and what you do.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, my comment today has to do with the masks. I'm a contractor, and I just happened to come across a foldout from a box of N95 masks that I've had for a long time. And it says on there very clearly in two different places that the N95 mask will not stop or prevent any sickness or disease. It says it will stop vapor and droplets, but it will not prevent any kind of sickness or disease whatsoever. And so the fact that you have people trying to come out and say that these little surgical masks that are even less protective, or these so-called 3-4-layer masks that they're selling in all the retail stores are going to stop some kind of a sickness or disease is just ludicrous, because if you look at it, a lot of times those things are doing nothing more than just trapping, and then you're going to carry that on to somebody else. And as soon as you take that mask off and all the moisture from your breathing evaporates, then that's going to release that into the air. And so you're going to actually carry that sickness and disease with you wherever you go. So in my opinion, I feel like if the mask companies, 3M, which makes the one that I'm reading from, if they state that I'm not going to be able to prevent any kind of sickness or disease coming upon me by wearing this mask, then why does the CDC think that all of a sudden everybody wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, and somebody like Chris mm-hmm. Wallace saying, well, if the president had just worn the mask, well, no, because I've known several people that have worn masks very diligently, and they've still come down with the sickness, with COVID. And so I believe yeah. with all of my heart that this is more of a bullying tactic, more of a bullying technique. And again, it's people rejoicing over unrighteousness. And one of the comment I'd just like to make before I close and let you go down to your next caller is I was reading in the Bible the other day, one of the Old Testament prophets, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it said that peace and truth reside together.
All right. Thank you for the call, Tim. I think you're definitely on point on the mask. In fact, Fauci used to say that the masks don't work. Well, that's changed. So which was he telling the truth then? Or was he telling the truth now? Well, we'll be back to keep telling you the truth.
It is high time for the church to be outraged over what we've allowed to happen.
Will and Mickey Addison.
It's okay to have a righteous indignation.
Yeah.
You know, don't sin. And even with your words, you want to make sure that you're not being sinful.
Yeah.
But I think there's nothing wrong with being, you know, forceful or even like just straight up about evil and the wickedness that we see
yeah.
and addressing it, you know, with,
yeah.
with passion.
Airing the Addisons weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
In August of 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit our country. A ministry was born called 8 Days of Hope. You know, the number 8 in the Bible means new beginnings. And for the last 14 years, about 40,000 volunteers from every state in the country, different denominations, have come together to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And now we'd like you to join our family, the 8 Days of Hope family. Already in 2019, we've been to Arkansas, Alabama, Nebraska, Texas, and even New York. For more information about the ministry, go to our website, 8daysofhope.com. Click Get Involved, submit your email address, and anytime we go anywhere, in a minute's notice, we'll send you an email, and hopefully you can join us. Above all, continue to pray for this ministry, 8 Days of Hope. It's the prayer of Jabez. God continues to enlarge in his territory for us to love and serve these precious families. Again, for more information about the ministry, go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
When we went to the American people and asked for what would become 45 days to slow the spread, our very best scientists told us that if we didn't take that action, we could lose 2.2 million American lives.
Vice President Mike Pence on Focus on the Family Minute.
But because the American people were willing to put the health of others first, they were willing to do the hard things. Our doctors and nurses and first responders were willing to come alongside people to provide the level of care that any family would want. That because our essential workers were able to keep food on the table and keep critical and essential infrastructure rolling, we've lost considerably less than that. Now, I will say we do mourn with those who mourn and grieve with those who grieve, and our hearts go out to anyone in the sound of my voice that lost a loved one to the coronavirus. But I think because of our national response that we've saved countless American lives. And as I said, it's been a great privilege for me to be some small part of it.
More from Vice President Pence at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
You know, isn't it interesting that the approach that people take to this coronavirus deal is a kind of Rorschach test on where they are ideologically, and that people who tend to lean more conservative tend to be more skeptical and don't like the being ordered around and told what to do, and here's, we know what's best for you. And the people on the left seem to think that that's what's needed. As Biden said, I would mandate the wearing of masks. Well, first of all, he can't mandate I wear a mask. He's not my boss. He's the head of the American government. And he's our servant. Now, Chris Wallace, I don't mean to pick on him, but I think it's just indicative of where the left is. He also said in his complaint, and the first lady walked right by me without a mask. Well, the last I read about this is that the transmission takes about 10 minutes of fairly close contact with a person who's got the virus. In other words, you don't catch it from somebody walking past you. And so, but the first lady walked by me without a mask on. Oh, brother. And that's what you get out of somebody who's supposed to be an objective media representative and journalist. Well, I'd hate to see what an unobjective, liberally biased person looks like. I don't even want to imagine. Okay, let's come back to your calls. And I think we got everything going here. Let's go to Jonathan in Mississippi. Jonathan, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I have a comment. Well, for one, I want to start off, the Bible speaks about the peacekeepers being blessed. And you mentioned about praying that our country doesn't descend into a civil war, and I definitely am in agreement, and I'm definitely praying for the same thing. But I think we have to be mindful of not associating everyone with the most extreme version of something. I don't consider myself left or right. I consider myself neutral. But what I do see is those who are very, very advocate on the left, everything that they don't like about the right, they associate everyone with it. So you're creating this division of us versus them, which will lead into, prospectively, a civil war. And I just ask you, Bishop, that as you say, you know, you hope our country doesn't go into a civil war, but at the same time, everything is either left or right. When we draw that division, when we draw that line, when we make everybody have to pick and choose one extreme over the other, eventually those extremes will meet. And so I just pray my country gets out of the ideal that we all either have to be left or right, and anybody who doesn't agree with us is evil and means our country harm.
Well, okay, but now see, here's the issue I would take with what you've just said to me, and is this, Jonathan, as Christians, Jesus said this. He said, whoever is not for me is against me. So to me, you can't be a leftist and be a sincere, faithful Christian too, because the things that represent the left, I mean, what are the ideologies that are on the left? Marxism, socialism, communism, anarchism, the LGBTQ movement. And I don't think there's a person in the Democrat Party who wouldn't, A, defend Antifa that is committed to violence, as well. They're not an organization. They're an idea. And I don't think there's anybody in the Democrat Party, certainly nobody in leadership in the Democrat Party, who wouldn't defend abortion right up to the moment of birth. So when I talk about the left, I'm really talking about issues. Are there exceptions? Of course there are. But those people have to figure out how they reconcile their convictions with their association with a party and a movement, particularly if they're Christians, that is against everything we stand for. So, I mean, it's like if you were listening earlier, I said, but see, I haven't moved in 40 years. I mean, I haven't changed. But the parameters have changed because the left is so in control of the media and the university system and the public schools in many cases that they have redefined those of us who, I believe in a traditional family. That's an extremist point of view. It's not an extremist point of view. It's a godly point of view. But so I hear what you're saying. I wish there were a way to paper over the differences or a way to reconcile the differences. But I think that we're at a point in our country where, at least for some, it is impossible to reconcile some of these differences. Now, for people who are truly kind of in the middle and say, well, I'm against abortion, but, you know, for practical reasons, I realize people are going to do it. Let's try to keep them safe. All right, I can work with those folks. I don't agree with them, but I can work with them. But if people say, we're going to abort babies up until, even if they're born alive, we should still kill them because that was the intention of the mother or the doctor or whoever. There's no compromising. There's simply no working that through. I mean, we are at opposite poles, and we're going to have to either win it at the ballot box and in the policy debate, or I don't know what the alternative is, but that's the way I want us to win it. I want us to win it at the ballot box and win it in the policy debate. I got to move on to some other calls, but Jonathan, call me again because I hear your perspective. I hope you will consider what I've just had to say as well. Let's go to Richard in Texas. Richard, welcome.
Hey, I just want to thank you. I've been listening. I just want to say that I'm just recently a new Christian man, and I've been following the Word of God, and it's been life changing.
Praise God.
And I think I listen to you guys now, and it's been great. But I do want to say that where I'm from, the area that I'm at in Texas, I'm surrounded by a bunch of non-believers. And I don't know if this is much of an issue anymore, but there's been a lot of argument around here about, creation and evolution versus the Word of God. And I'm for the Word of God, and I don't ever want to go back to that non-believer status. And I want to know what the Word of God says about dinosaurs, because that's been a big topic around here, and I don't know. I don't ever want to go back to that life because I feel empty without God, and I'm just curious what dinosaurs have to do with it all.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for the call, and man, congratulations on having received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and being a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the most important decision any human being will ever make, and I commend you for it. And I encourage you in it to hold fast. The devil's going to attack and people are going to attack. but you just know that you have secured your eternal destiny in the one who loves you best, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. So God bless you for that. Now, I would refer you to the Creation Institute and to other creation organizations that can deal with that in more detail than I have time to deal with now. First of all, evolution is a lie. We are not the descendants of tadpoles and monkeys and all of that. And they still can't answer, well, how did life begin? They still can't answer that. I mean, it's the stupidest thing that Stephen Hawking actually said. Well, life began because it had to begin, which is not no answer at all. Anything to avoid God. But go to the Creation Institute and other organizations like that, and you'll get plenty of answers. The Bible refers to a Leviathan, and it does refer to these large, these gigantic animals. I think that part of the problem with evolution is they get their dating wrong. I think they've done the same thing with the Shroud of Turin, which I just happen to believe, folks. My faith is not based on it, but I happen to believe that the Shroud of Turin really is the shroud that Jesus wore. Now, that's just me. But even if somebody proved, I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was not. Fine. My faith is not based on that. My faith is based on Christ Jesus. But the people who doubt it say they've done carbon testing. And even though we can't explain the X-ray image in it, we know that it had to be, it happened in the 13th century, not in the year, not during the years that Jesus was alive. But yet they can't explain how this reverse image got into the shroud. And it's actually in the materials. It's there at an organic atomic level. You can't get rid of it. So, but the scientists say, well, it couldn't have been the shroud of Jesus. Well, okay. You know, they've got all the answers, but thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Paul in Tennessee. Paul, welcome.
Yes. Bishop, thank you very much. And I want to say to you, I really appreciate you speaking truth, scriptural truth, and not being afraid. I'm a pastor also, and I've opened different services by saying faith or fear. Yeah, faith over fear. But Amen. The question I had for you is, you hear on television all these disasters out west, the people losing their homes and everything else, and even whole towns disappearing. My question is, how are these people who don't any longer have addresses or homes or towns supposed to go vote?
Wow, that you know what? That's another question, isn't it? About this upcoming election, and that can cut both ways. I think we call that in the law a case of first impression. That's the first time that issue has been raised, Paul. But it's something to give some thought to. Look, I just believe there are so many moving parts in this upcoming election, and there's so much invested in trying to steal it. And I mean that. I really do. I think that there are people on the left who are so invested in the defeat of Donald Trump and so invested in fundamentally changing this country that they will do almost anything. So you just raise another possible source of cheating. In other words, you could just manufacture a bunch of people who no longer have addresses. And somebody's got to do that. Oh, yes, we've got 25,000 people here who lost their homes, and we've taken care of them. By the way, I got one of these things in the mail in Virginia now. It's for absentee voting. But you know what it actually said? It said, where do you live? And then it asked, what address would you like your ballot sent to? And I thought, well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't I want it sent to where I live? Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Have a great weekend. Go to church. Enjoy yourself. God bless each and every one of you. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.